As we gather here today, we all remember that on this day in AD 31, something very special happened in Jerusalem. The disciples of Jesus Christ had gathered in one place when an extraordinary event took place. Now, this was the only time that anything like this had ever happened. Nothing like it had ever occurred before. And it was an amazing spectacle for those who witnessed it, and for those outside the house where the disciples were. If they actually heard the sound, it must have been quite alarming for them when they were in the close vicinity of that particular house. Now, my overall purpose this afternoon is to emphasise that we have been given a tremendous gift that was not available to everyone who had repented and been baptised prior to this time. In fact, prior to this event, very few had been granted the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Although God requires us to give an offering on the annual holy days, it is appropriate to remember the wonderful gift that the brethren have either been given or will receive on baptism. I say that it is appropriate to remember this wonderful gift because it should bring to mind the marvellous future, the tremendous future that we have ahead of us. So let's recall this event, which has been covered very ably by Mr. Henderson this morning. Let's recall this event once more and remember what actually happened. As I say, speaking in the afternoon, you're going to be covering something that somebody else has already covered, so please bear with me. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, if we go there just once more, this scripture recounts what actually happened on this particular day. This was the time that the Comforter that Jesus Christ had promised would be sent, was initially sent to all the brethren who were to become followers of the way. Now, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, we read the following. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place with one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like of a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, as this section of Scripture brings out, there was an immediate gift, in addition to the Holy Spirit itself. Not only were the disciples speaking in the languages of the listeners, but everyone present heard in their own tongue. Now that was a remarkable beginning to the work. The church was born and a safe haven was established for the brethren to be nurtured and nourished in God's way. It was a safe haven for the newly begotten believers in God's word. As Paul later pointed out, the offerings no longer went to the temple, but to the support of the ministry and the brethren, and to enable the ministry to carry the gospel message out to the world. It's also interesting to note that according to the Israeli National News, 3,321 years ago, the law was delivered to the Israelites from Mount Sinai. Mankind was given a great gift back then, and that was shortly after the Israelites, with a mixed multitude, had left the land of Egypt. When we look at what God has given us, either individually or as a people, the mind really does begin to boggle. We have all been given a code of law by which to live. We have been given access to God's Holy Spirit and ultimately to God's coming kingdom here on this earth. Additionally, we have enjoyed a level of prosperity which is unrivaled and unequaled by any generation prior to this time. Admittedly, that prosperity is being withdrawn from the Israelitish peoples. But even so, at this moment in time, the English-speaking peoples still enjoy a far greater standard of living than almost every other people on this earth. We stand at a very pivotal time in the point of history, and we see the fortunes and the livelihoods of many disappearing, like the morning mist as the sun begins to heat the day. The financial systems of this present era are shot through, and times are going to get very tough economically, and also times are going to be tough in ordinary day-to-day living for most people. For what we have received, we should, indeed must, give thanks to our most great Creator God. In this connection, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 100. And we've just sung this, actually, which I didn't know it was going to be sung, but we've just sung this one. Our joy should be obvious. Gladness should radiate from our conversation and our conduct, recognising that it is He who has given us so very much. In our thankfulness, we should realise that Almighty God has blessed us with the knowledge of His laws and also with the knowledge of His coming kingdom. And that coming kingdom will be under Jesus Christ. And if we remain faithful, we will be there with Him, serving under Him. In Psalm 100, we read the following words. Make a joyful noise unto the Eternal, all you lands. Serve the Eternal with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know you that the Eternal is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Eternal is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. We have nothing of any real or lasting value in comparison to the life that lies before us and before those that God has called. And there is nothing that can come anywhere close to being sufficient to pay in any way for the gift that God has put before us and given us in His mercy, in His goodness, and has bestowed upon each and every one of us. Even as we live through the dying days of this present world's civilization, we have been blessed with a knowledge of what is to come. What is here now will pale into insignificance against the glories of the world to come. But between now and then, a job has to be done. We are the backing for that work. It is our tithes and our offerings that have made any present efforts of the Church of God possible. We have and are doing the utmost to hold to the truth that has been delivered to God's Church. That truth is still being made available to the world, but it does need to be funded, the work of making that truth available. For that reason, God commanded to the world that the system of financing should be used for His work. And I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy in chapter 16. We find that on each of the three annual holy day seasons, we are expected to assemble together and to give an offering so that God's work can be financed. God does not need our money, but in his loving kindness, He allows us to be part of His work on this earth at this time. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, beginning in verse 16, we read the following. Three times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God in the place which He shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, which is now, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Eternal empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Eternal your God, which He has given you. We are here today to give an offering, not out of necessity nor grudgingly. For as the Apostle Paul says, God loves a cheerful giver. So let's be joyful as we give our offering, glad that we have been chosen to support His work at this end time. And you give thanks to Him who has blessed us with such a wonderful future. We will now take up the offering. And while this is being done, there will be offering music, which is entitled, God is Our Refuge and Our Strength. It is Psalm 46. It will be sung by the Henderson Trio and accompanied by Mr. Bowles on the piano.